I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There. This is a podcast about the outdoors, from your window box and garden, to the fields on the edge of town, to the forests, prairies, seashores, and wilderness. On the show, we try to make sense out of life by exploring our relationship with nature. We tackle all sorts of big questions, social ones, psychological ones, scientific ones, even moral ones, all through the lens of the natural world. We travel around the globe with tales of love and heartbreak, passion and adversity, desperation and triumph. Thanks for joining us. On this show, we explore the many facets of our relationship with the great outdoors. As longtime listeners know, I love to hike and bike and ski, and I've had some profound experiences out there. But today, we're going to look at some of the yucky stuff that often ends up outside. I'm talking about trash, garbage. This is a story about a problem that's facing communities across the country, and about a solution that seems, well, frankly, kind of tree-hugger-ish. And yet, it's a solution that certain cities are actually starting to take seriously. The story comes from a friend and former colleague of mine, Rebecca Martinez. We were reporters together at Wyoming Public Radio, and she did so many stories on solid waste that we began calling her Senior Trash Correspondent. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Willow.
So you've been reporting on solid waste for a long time. Why does it interest you so much?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think our garbage says a lot about us. It shows what we valued at one time, and it also shows how much thought we're willing to give to how we get rid of it. You might not know that the world generates almost 3 trillion pounds of trash per year, but even after it gets thrown away, it usually ends up getting stored somewhere, kind of like a time capsule. But even though trash stinks and we treat it like a problem, I love that it can also be a resource if we look at it the right way.
I don't think many people see trash as a resource.
Most people definitely don't. Let me introduce you to a woman named Marion who lives down the street from me.
Hi, my name is Marion Bailey and I live in Durham, North Carolina. I found this lovely duplex on Craigslist, and so I live in one side of like a 2-bedroom house. It's pretty small, but it's nice and cozy, so I like it.
Her place is bright and cheerful, which is fitting for Marion. When she's not rock climbing, she's painting. She's got bright art all over the walls. She lives alone, so she's in control of how her chores get done. She doesn't mind cooking and cleaning, but Wednesday is the worst.
Garbage day. I hate garbage day. I just have like this fear of like one day I'm going to be taking out the garbage and then something's going to happen to puncture the bag and I'm going to end up covered in like liquefied garbage or just like peels of vegetables and like all of this stuff. And it just, every time I take out the garbage, I think of that. And like it hasn't happened to me before, but I've seen it happen to other people. So I'm just like waiting for the day when that happens. And so I'm always like a little afraid.
Most of the wet garbage she's afraid of comes from food waste. And by that I mean apple cores, zucchini peels, lemon rinds. They start to decompose right in the trash, and it starts to drip and smell. And that makes Wednesdays terrible. Having all that rotting, stinking food waste isn't great for the city of Durham either. It's messy, it's heavy, and with our growing population, there's more of it every day.
My name is Donald Long. I'm the Director of Solid Waste Management for the city of Durham, North Carolina.
Donald Long is responsible for making sure that all the garbage from all the homes, schools, agencies, and businesses has somewhere to go.
If you need numbers, I can get numbers in front of me.
Hey, Patricia.
Yeah?
I need some very, very, very quick numbers from you.
Okay.
Assistant Solid Waste Manager Patricia Fossum helps him out.
How much garbage do we take in a year? How much did we take in last year?
Okay, I can pull that up. Last year, fiscal year,
For us, municipal solid waste tons, we did 50,459.
Roughly, what did we pay to have that shipped?
That would be, let's see here, $4,848,064, so roughly like $4.85 million.
$4.85?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
$4.85 million. That's a lot of money for the city of Durham to pay to ship its garbage. And they pay it because all the local landfills are already full, so they have to truck 100 miles away to Sampson County. Most of that 127,000 tons of trash has to be buried in a landfill. We don't really have anywhere else for it to go. But 18% of the garbage the city generates is food waste. Decomposing apple cores and putrid zucchini peels like the stuff in Marion's garbage can. And there is another option for that kind of trash. It's an option cities are only just beginning to experiment with. Donald Long says there's good reason to keep whatever we can out of the landfill.
It's a matter of space, it's a matter of money, but mainly it's a matter of, for lack of a better way of saying it, environmental sanity. We have got to get smarter about what we do. It does not make any sense to continually dig holes, line them, and put waste in them.
In other words, we're running out of space and money to handle trash the way we've been dealing with it for decades. And he says we're running out of time to come up with a solution.
Reality, the changing industry. I will bet my pension that the state of North Carolina would not issue a permit for another landfill in my lifetime and your lifetime.
Okay, so let's pause for a second, Becky. It's pretty clear that this lack of landfill space is a problem where you are in North Carolina. But put this in perspective for us. What about the rest of the country?
Yeah, this is definitely not just a North Carolina issue. All over the country, cities are running out of space for trash. In fact, the Environmental Research and Education Foundation says 7 states will completely run out of space for trash by the year 2020. Several more are close behind. And this is a big enough deal that the federal government is taking note. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is pretty much begging Americans to cut their food waste. He says we throw away 133 billion pounds, that's billion with a B, of food every year.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Well, that's more than 30% of our food.
As in, we're throwing away 30% of our food?
Yeah, and most of it's getting shipped to landfills all over the country.
Okay, so that doesn't sound great, but is it really a problem? I mean, I can think of a lot worse things to put in the ground than leftovers. I mean, doesn't food just decompose in the landfill?
I mean, it does, but when it's buried, it starts producing tons of methane, which is a really potent greenhouse gas. So what's happening is the food waste in the landfills is actually contributing to climate change.
Huh. And here I thought food was probably the least bad thing we throw out.
I mean, a lot of people think so, but not necessarily.
Okay, so you're suggesting that there is an alternative to putting all this food waste in the landfill. What is it?
Well, first of all, the USDA wants us to buy less and waste less, and that makes sense. But there's always going to be some food left over, and that stuff can be composted, which basically means you mix all that plant matter and the coffee grounds and meat scraps and other organic bits together and turn it into some rich and awesome soil.
Okay, so but is composting actually any better than landfilling? I mean, isn't the food just decomposing either way?
I mean, it is decomposing, you're right. But while landfills produce a ton of methane, compost just produces carbon dioxide. And yeah, that's also a greenhouse gas, but it traps way less heat in the atmosphere.
So I actually have a compost pile in my backyard, and I throw my kitchen scraps in there, and I use the soil for my garden. But I live in Wyoming, and so I actually have a backyard. I have plenty of space for a compost pile. I'm having a little bit of a hard time imagining this working as well in a city.
It's definitely a little harder, but not impossible. Cities like Austin and Portland already have municipal curbside compost pickup, like along with their trash and recycling. And of course, Durham is not Portland, so folks are getting creative. So let me take you back to Marion Bailey, the woman I introduced you to earlier, who hates taking out trash on Wednesdays. I wondered if I could get her to keep her food waste out of the landfill and make Trash Day less of a disgusting ordeal. So I proposed an experiment. What if I took all the gross wet stuff away for composting? Marion said she'd thought about composting before, but nothing came of it.
Maybe because I'm lazy and I keep forgetting about it, and I haven't like set up like a designated area to put like my food scraps and stuff. So it's mostly just laziness.
Well, I have something for you.
Okay.
You wanna have a seat?
All right.
So this is for you. Okay. Can you tell me what we're looking at?
A nice green bucket with a lid and a bag inside.
So this is a bucket for composting. Okay. And it's just one of those kind of cement buckets you see at like Home Depot or something like that. Green bucket, black lid. This bag is compostable.
Over the course of 2 weeks, Marion agreed to throw her biodegradable waste in there. All her food scraps, all her wet kitchen garbage, and I promised to pick it up once a week for a couple weeks and see if Trash Day was still so terrible. Unlike you, Willow, I don't have a yard for a compost pile. But there's a business in downtown Durham that does. And I'm going to give Marion Bailey's decaying lemon rinds, zucchini peels, and wet paper towels to them. The company is called Tilthy Rich. It's a pun. Tilth is a word used to describe soil condition. Tilthy Rich is a bike-powered compost collection service. A team of 14 riders hits homes across Durham every week and picks up their food scraps from these green cement buckets. And full disclosure, I am not a completely unbiased bystander. My husband and I compost, and we've been clients of theirs since we moved to Durham last year. Anyway, Kat Nigro is the general manager of Tilthy Rich, and she leads the posse of cyclists. She's really bubbly.
So, this is where the magic happens. This is our bike. We have two bikes and two trailers.
Four green cement buckets and bags are nestled into these wagons, which are mounted to the backs of mountain bikes. Kat rides her routes on Tuesdays, and she invited me along, since she says her route is pretty easy. Just 20 houses.
So, we have these beautiful signs. They just say, "We compost with Tilthy Rich." But they're very vibrant yellow. And a lot of the reason people sign up for our program is because they see the yard signs and they're really curious. So they're always like, "Oh, what's that yard sign?" And then they look at it and they're like, "Oh, they compost. Oh, there's composting in Durham." And then they go online and see. So that's always great. It's easy for me because I'm writing down, and if I forget the number of the house, I just see the signs.
I told you Kat was bubbly. She pulls up to a house with a yard sign and leans her bike to the curb. She walks up to the porch, where she finds a green bucket like the one I gave Marion. Kat gingerly opens the lid.
So what'd you get?
Okay, so this guy threw out some old bread, so leftovers. Let's see. Oh, an avocado pit. That's one thing people don't know that they can compost is avocado pits.
Kat empties the bucket into a bin on her bike trailer, and then she sprays some cleaner into the customer's bucket and wipes it out. Then she ties on a new compostable bag inside, puts the lid on, and leaves it on the porch. A block down, she stops again and opens another bucket.
And I think I'm right. So, yeah, this one has a lot. Has a lot of
bread. That's like filled to the brim.
Yeah, it's filled, and you'll see when I try to lift it, it won't lift. And so this is gonna be one of the ones that I have to dump without tying the bag. And that's fine. That's what the bins are for. But It certainly will make it a bit messier.
So that's the drill. Dump, clean, bag, move on. By the end of her ride, Kat says she's usually pulling about 250 pounds of compost. 250 pounds from just 20 houses.
I mean, okay, so every week pickup is so different. Sometimes it's light and it's good to us, so it takes us like 3 hours, and the bags are so, they're so light and it feels so good, and you're just riding along and you're having a great day. But then Halloween comes, and then they leave their pumpkins on their bucket, which they should and they're supposed to, but it takes so much longer and it's so much heavier, and especially around the holidays there's so much more food waste. So Thanksgiving's coming up. We're looking forward to that.
At the end of a shift, riders unload their food waste at the Tilthy Rich headquarters near downtown Durham. Then another company comes and hauls it away to an industrial composting site just outside the city.
So, Becky, you actually met with the founder and CEO of Tilthy Rich.
Mm-hmm. His name is Chris Russo.
So, what's his vision for this company? What does he want to accomplish with all these bikes and buckets and yard signs?
He's got a big romantic vision, actually. He wants to change the way Durham thinks about food and about food waste.
I think that farm to table is a very well-known term for the average American, and I think the reverse of that is just as important, and that's why we focus on compost, and it's table to farm, right? So once you're done with those scraps, again, that's not waste. We want to reuse that.
And are they doing that? Are they reusing the compost they collect?
Yeah. Tilthy Rich offers customers bags of fresh compost twice a year to put on their lawns and gardens and potted plants. My basil looked awesome this summer.
Okay, so you've got a company that's riding around picking up buckets of compost, but how much of an impact can this actually make on the city of Durham?
Well, Chris Russo really wants the city on board so Durham can have its own municipal compost pickup service. And Solid Waste Director Donald Long is actually on board. The city commissioned a feasibility study and a pilot program is in the works.
I think it's a very, very, very good thing because now we're paying approximately $4.8 million to transport stuff down the road to put in a hole in the ground, where possibly we might be able to divert as much as 25 to 30% of that, and we could put for other good uses.
In fact, Long says businesses like Tilthy Rich could help bring Durham into the future.
Back in the day, people would say, oh, they're tree huggers and they're, you know, but no, that's not true. They are people who have thought patterns ahead of their time, and the rest of us are gonna have to get on board with people like that.
Chris and Donald agree the trick will be to make it easy to separate the food waste from other garbage. So I checked back with Marion to see how she felt about storing her scraps separately from the trash can.
Definitely not more difficult. Like the first few days I had to remind myself that it was there and I needed to use it. But after I got like the hang of it and was like aware of the fact that, hey, you said you would do this, so make sure you do it. Like it was super easy.
And she says composting has paid off.
I think my kitchen smells different, which is nice. I also, like, I don't know why, but when it came to composting, I was much more aware of, like, how much food I was wasting. And so I was working a lot harder to not throw away food, especially because I knew you were going to be going through it. So I was like, oh, my God, like, I have to make sure I'm not throwing away, like, all of this excess food. And so I think that was a good reminder to not like overbuy stuff, and then to make sure I'm like using everything as much as I can.
And the dreaded trash day, that final Wednesday, she said it wasn't that bad.
Do you notice it looking, feeling, smelling any different?
Oh yeah, it's a lot lighter. Like this is pretty much just paper that can't be recycled or little, like I have a bag from when I bought some cherries, like stuff like that. Like it's a lot lighter. And doesn't have any like goopy stuff in it.
Do you hate taking out the trash quite as much?
Not as much, because I'm not afraid of getting splashed by any gross like food remnants. It's So that was my biggest fear when it came to taking out the trash.
Good job.
Thanks.
Okay, so Marion hated trash day, and compost seems to be working out for her. And you've got this private company taking out people's compost, and the city thinks this is a good idea. But, like, where is all of this going? I mean, is composting going to be the wave of the future?
Yeah, I do think composting is going to become a bigger part of our lives. I mean, look at recycling. I know the system isn't perfect, but lots of towns pick up recycling from right outside people's houses now. And when you go to the mall or a park, it's usually pretty easy to find a recycling bin for your soda bottle. And yes, those developments took time, but they're happening all over the country, and I think composting is the next step. I think you're gonna find that it's gonna become part of many people's lives, not just something a few tree huggers do.
Okay, well, Becky, thanks so much for joining me today.
And thank you for having me. You know I love talking about this stuff.
Yes, I do know that. Rebecca Martinez is a radio producer living in Durham, North Carolina. When she's not doing a story for Out There, she works at WUNC. Before you go, we have some exciting news. We're getting t-shirts made for Out There. They're super soft, and they've got a beautiful design by a couple of Wyoming artists. It's this silhouette of trees reflected in the water, and all of it fades into sound waves. You can check it out for yourself on our website, outthereshow.com. And I should say, we have a special offer right now regarding these t-shirts. For a limited time, if you make a donation of just $10 or more, we'll send you one as a thank you gift. Our theme music was written by Jared Arnold, and special thanks to Robin McDonald, Sam Shapinski, and Deb and Vince Garcia for their financial contributions to Out There. Have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.